Thanks for trying to move the TV for me, but I don't use that. I thought about trying, but it's too much for me. But that's all right. One of the greatest challenges and things I see in animals is that of a worm to a butterfly. Children always study this because it is a great wonder of how this happens. I looked it up this week and discovered there are four stages of life of a butterfly. Simply put, now some of you may correct me, those who are teaching science, I may have it wrong, but it's the egg, the worm, the cocoon, and then the butterfly, and then the process starts all over again. But there's a great difference from one to the other. One crawls while the other flies. One appears to eat everything, and you all know that if you're a gardener, while the other is a beauty to watch. You see, there's a connection between the two, yet they seem so vastly different from one to the other. We are continuing in our book of Ephesians, and Paul continues this week discussing a common theme that is already related directly to the gospel and the newly converted Gentiles in the city of Ephesus. So turn with me, if you will, to your Bibles, and we're going to read God's word together, not out loud, but I'm going to read and you're going to listen, and read the passage starting in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. If you don't have your Bibles with you, it'll be on the screen, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles along or your device. So let's open it up and read God's word. Therefore, remember that you formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning, as we listen to what it says, Lord, give us wisdom to hear and life to apply that to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you find yourself looking at different groups of people and you think, us versus them? I see a few nods. We first learn this in school, don't we? It's called play, out in the games. Us versus them. You see, it's a competition. Two group of people coming together, comparing themselves, and coming to the conclusion that one is better than the other. Both sides say us versus them. I find it interesting to watch football games and to see if the players on the field warming up. For some of them, they know each other. Some have played together on the same team in college or even in the same league. Some are even brothers. No, I'm talking about CFL, not NFL. Nothing to do with that today. Some are even brothers on different teams. Some are even brothers, different teams on different as different coaches. And there's a friendly conversation before the game, but once the whistle blows it becomes down to what? Us versus them. In some situations, us versus them is not healthy. However, in this case, us versus them is healthy. It's part of the process. It's the game. It's the end result. Paul begins his discussion to the people in the previous verses, as we discussed last week, telling them they are alive in Christ, but now he says, therefore, and we want to hear the therefore. He points out to the people that they were once in us versus them relationship. In fact, Paul would have been listed in the us category in the audience. He would have said, I'm part of us. I'm there. I'm Jewish tradition. I'm us. They would say, I'm glad we're not like them. How could they ever think about this topic or another? They're wrong. We are what? Right. With every us and them grouping, there comes a point of looking down on them. In fact, I can say it goes as far as lifting us up higher than we should be when we think of us versus them. Think about the times you were in the us versus thinking about them. It's often looking down on someone. It's a comparison. Us thinkers often think more highly than they ought to think. Paul brings to light the readers that this was the condition of the Gentiles believers. He's referring to those following Christ. They were in a condition of us versus them. You who were formerly. Their physical birth into a people group excluded them from God's blessing, working through them. God chose a people group, the Jewish followers of Yahweh, to bring forth from them the blessing of God. They were recipients of the blessing of God. They were chosen. They were marked, identified by circumcision. Notice Paul makes great effort to point out that this marking of blessing was done by the hands of man. It's not a subtle indication of what will happen when Christ marks the church, his chosen people. We are the chosen people. It is and will be the marking no longer done by man, but by God. Paul is pointing out that before they're one in Christ, before Christ, there is no hope. No hope for the Gentiles. They would have to leave behind all that was theirs and come to follow the ways of Yahweh. But look what he says in verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Folks, to truly understand what we have in Christ, we must first understand what we once were, separate from Christ. The blessings, the protection, all that Christ has to offer us was not available to them before they're one in Christ. And same with us. The Gentiles are also separate from the blessings given to the followers of Yahweh, the commonwealth of Israel, the covenants given to his people, God's covenants, not dependent on man to fulfill, but an almighty God coming to them. God said to his people, I will, and he did. You will be my people. Through you, all the world will be blessed. However, those people, us versus them, they will be without God in their world. One commentary writes this, as the passage begins, the readers, here explicitly described for the first time as Gentiles, are reminded by the Jewish Christian followers of Paul that their pre-Christian state was one of serious religious demise. They're asked to reflect on their former condition in terms of categories, and they began to believe. And they got to see that God's electing purpose for the commonwealth of Israel, for the covenant relationship and the promise, that they were therefore destitute of true hope and true God. Take a moment to reflect on those words. Destitute of the true hope and true God. Before you came to the gospel, accepted the gospel for your lives, You were once like that. Here's another thought. Your neighbor, your coworker, the person who serves you a meal at your restaurant may be in a position of destitute of true hope and a true God. So I ask myself and I ask you, what do we do about them? Are we always watching ways to give them the good news, the gospel, so they no longer will be lost? When you came here this morning to be spiritually refreshed, to be encouraged, to worship God, are you coming to be changed, to be transformed, to be strengthened, to share a word of faith around us for those who are sitting with us? Look at Paul's words of encouragement. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We are God's chosen people. By Christ's blood, we are God's chosen people together forever. We now have that hope. We can now say because of Christ's work on the cross, we can draw near to God together forever. Think about this. Have you ever won a prize or a draw? I mean, you're standing in a room and the lucky number is pulled out and it happens to be yours. The feeling of excitement as you move forward to claim your prize. That is what Paul is saying to the people here. The dramatic reversal that's taken place for the Gentile readers through their relationship to Christ and through his sacrificial death is described in the language of having come near. The excitement of coming near and getting that. We are a community of reconciled people when we live in the gospel. I heard it say the other day, a well-known podcaster interviewed a member from the Islamic faith, and the podcaster asked him to describe the various branches of Islam. If I heard him correctly, the guest speaker stated that the prophet predicted that the faith would have 73 different branches of Islamic faith. He went on to describe how various other faiths have various branches as well, and so it got me thinking. As followers of Christ, do we have different branches? I mean, we have different churches, different understandings of faith practice, doctrine, beliefs. Are those different branches? But we should have the same branch, the gospel. Well, folks, if you hold to a view of us versus them for the church down the street or around the block in a different city, those churches that strive to hold on to the gospel but look different than us, take a moment and look at verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Paul was talking about the wall of hostility between us versus them. The Jew versus the Gentile. The barrier that had been set up had been removed, and we are now one in Christ. The old way of approaching the throne of God, his presence has been changed. The foreshadowing of things to come is there. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself a one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility, removing the us versus them. Folks, the old self has been reconciled to God through Christ and through his work on the cross. Accepting God's work in our lives, we become reconciled to God, and we are no longer us versus God. Because we have the spirit of reconciliation, God is dwelling within us. One of the songs we sang earlier mentioned that. And maybe this morning you're having a conflict with a fellow believer. Christ's work on the cross has brought about peace. You're both one in Christ. So the Bible says, be reconciled. Come to the foot of the cross and ask for forgiveness. Then go to your fellow believer and be reconciled. There's nothing we have done to deserve this grace. It is freely given. And maybe this morning you're feeling an us versus them in your own life. You've been coming or listening to this series online for the last couple of weeks, and yet you have not taken the steps to follow to be one in Christ, as we've been talking about. Maybe you think you have to get better, your life put together, before you could be accepted by Christ. That's not the case. Christ's work on the cross has made a way for you to be reconciled with God. May I challenge you this morning, if you haven't yet taken the steps to accept the words of Jesus, to come, do it today and be reconciled to God. God's chose to align himself with a group of people so that he can show the power of his grace, the power of reconciliation. Is there someone in your life that you hurt you greatly, has offended you? Whether it was done last week or years before, God has forgiven you. Christ has gone to the cross for you so that by his example, we too can experience peace. Ephesians 2, for through him we both have access to the one Spirit. There's not different branches to an almighty God. There's only one way, and that is through Christ. As you've heard in this series, one in Christ, Paul points out that the Gentile believers who are once far away from the presence of God can stand near now, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord. And I will heal them. Or would I say, I would reconcile them. The core of the gospel is that God's plan of salvation from the beginning was to break down that barrier and to create a way through Christ that man can be in a right relationship with God. And that relationship with God will give us the ability to forgive and to be reconciled not only with God but with fellow believers. When we come to corporate worship, as we do this morning, we should come prepared to be transformed into the image of Christ. We should come with a willingness to forgive. We should come because we have been reconciled to God. May I challenge you this morning, if there's something or someone in your life that needs to be dealt with, deal with it today. Folks, being one in Christ, we are now together forever. We might as well be reconciled now because we'll be spending eternity with one another. You see, Paul reminds us that through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Make things right with one another. Make things right before we come to the cross, before we come to the Father. And we can make things right by giving the Father through the Son and the Spirit dwelling in us today. In the last section of this chapter, Paul outlines the result of Christ's achievement on the cross. We are a new community, a community of faith, together forever. This morning, as we gather together as part of a larger community of Christ Church, the Spirit of God is dwelling not only in the believers in this room here, but in the lives of believers throughout the world. As is the practice around the world, there is a potential of, I was thinking about this, potential of corporate 24-hour praise to God on a Sunday morning with time change. If every church in the world were to practice like we do in a corporate community and praise on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock as we came here, God would receive a 24-hour continuous praise service as the Spirit enables us. Here in Canada alone, there's 5 hours of praise services offering praises to our King. Folks, we are no longer aliens or strangers, but fellow citizens of God's great kingdom. I often get asked, where do you work? I like to answer this way. I work for a worldwide organization. We have branches in every country of the world. We desire to open up new branches to serve and spread the mission of our leader. Our CEO is out of this world. Yet if I can say for certain that his passionate heart dwells within me. In fact, I'd like to say anyone is free to join this group and will be welcomed into this organization with the job experience and become an active member in this group. The organization structure is simple. The CEO and the rest of us are side by side, submitting to each other. We are together forever. When you join this company, you'll be given a job. We call it a gift. that will help you grow the company under the guidance of our leader. The company has grown through faithful workers in the past who listened to the CEO. Or I can say I'm a pastor. One of the two. The other way is more fun to describe it, because that's who we are. But what does Paul say? Look at Ephesians. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Someone wrote, the church is a new creation which replaces the older order with its divided humanity. It forms instead the new person, a new humanity included in Christ as a representative of human beings, therefore called his body. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Christ's work on the cross has brought about reconciliation not only to God, but to one another. On one of my holidays with Heather while in Pennsylvania, we visited a museum that had a full-scale replica of the tabernacle in the wilderness as it set up. It was God's representation of God's dwelling place among his people. It was a scale model of the dwelling place of God that they went through. It was there to set apart from other people the presence of God. It was his dwelling place. And they gave us a glimpse of what the inner place would have looked like where God dwelled, and you can take this tour. Yet today, how greater that is. Take a moment to look around the room. For those of us in the room today, if you have accepted the free gift of God's grace, God is dwelling in each one of us. We are now his dwelling place. The law is no longer on the stone, but written on our hearts. Revelation 21 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is the reconciliation work of Christ in our lives. We have identified with Christ. We've accepted his work on the cross for us, and we have been reconciled with him. And we dwell, and he dwells within us. Paul encouraged us by this passage by reminding us that we have been united with Christ by all who bear his name. As the worship team comes forward to lead us in a song of response, may the words of the song, not just the words we sing, but may they be the words we live. Maybe there's something you have been working through in your life, and you need that together forever in support of prayer. I want to let you know there are people up front who would love to listen, who would love to pray for you, to come up to the front after the last song. We're going to close with, I'm no longer a slave to fear. We're going to sing these words. I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. We're wondering where the worship team is. They're coming. There they are. We're going to sing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear, because you are a child of God. We'll also sing, I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. We are God's dwelling place. We are together forever. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.